The U.S. fighting in Iraq, American dependence on foreign oil, close U.S. ties with Israel. The story and history of the Middle East matters in our lives every day, and yet remains baffling to many of us. This week and next, All Things Considered is airing a series of reports by NPR foreign correspondent Mike Schuster. He aims to look at 900 years of relations between Islam and the West. All Things Considered gets the six-part series. Day to Day asked Mike for the Cliff Notes version. Mike Schuster, tell us briefly about your series.
Well, the Foreign Desk decided to take a look back over the last 900 years of history to look at the conflicts between the Middle East and the West so that maybe we won't be as surprised by events in the Middle East now and events in particular in Iraq if we understand that there have been things that have occurred in past centuries that form the Arab view of contemporary times, and that's why we decided to look back. We start with the Crusades, we go through the rise of the Ottoman Empire, the European colonial carve-up of the Middle East in the 19th century, World War I, which is very important because the Ottoman Empire falls apart, and the British and the French draw the modern boundaries, the modern borders of the Middle East. And then a couple of pieces about the United States in the Middle East after World War II, because the United States became the great outside power in the Middle East after World War II.
There are these names like the Ottoman Empire.
Right.
The Crusades, Napoleon's campaign in Egypt, things I kind of vaguely remember from history. And I'm not sure that they are relevant to developments in the Middle East today or how they are.
Well, they are because the Arabs lived through them, and the Arabs understand their own history. They have a version of their own history. We in the West, and in particular in the United States, we have our own version of this history as well, but we don't know as much as the Arabs do. So, for instance, President Bush, soon after the 9/11 attacks, used a word that's really politically and historically charged for Arabs throughout the Arab world.
We understand. And the American people are beginning to understand. Now, this crusade, this war on terrorism, is going to take a while.
That reverberated profoundly in the Middle East because of their notion of what happened during the crusade. So they also lived through centuries of the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Turks, based in Istanbul, were an empire that included most of the Arab world for centuries. And so that's also part of their history that we don't know much about.
You're talking about a sense of history that isn't history, something I study in a book, but more like folk memory.
Perhaps folk memory, but I think since the 19th century, as contemporary Arab societies evolve, they've been learning history out of books, and the books are replete with these episodes. So you can see in modern contemporary politics, leaders of Hezbollah, for instance, in Lebanon, refer to the Crusades all the time. They refer to it as a 200-year period when the Arabs had to fight and wait before the Europeans essentially finally gave up. Often they make statements about Israel. They call the United States and Israel the modern crusaders and say, well, that period was 200 years. You've only been here for 50. The meaning is obvious. But it's history that they're aware of that at least we should be aware of when we as a society make decisions about what we do in the Middle East.
Well, let's talk about Iraq for a moment. The British heavily involved there, World War I and immediately after World War I. It was called Mesopotamia back then. Are there parallels between the British experience now almost a century ago and the U.S. experience in Iraq now?
Amazing parallels for anyone looking back over this history. The British and the French during World War I drew up a secret agreement, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which defined the borders of the modern Middle East. The British ended up with what is modern-day Iraq. And immediately after the end of the war, there was a revolt in Iraq, and it was very bloody, and thousands of Iraqis lost their lives, and thousands of British and Imperial Indian troops lost their lives. The British used air power, an early use of air power, to bomb villages to stop this revolt. And what's interesting is that it didn't occur just in Iraq. These kind of revolts spread throughout the Middle East. In Egypt in 1919 against the British, in the early 20s in Syria against the French, and a similar revolt in 1925, and the French bombed Damascus. There was this Arab nationalist revolt across the Middle East after World War I, and I think it's important for Americans to know about the parallel with Iraq, but also the broader picture.
And that history, you noted earlier before we began this conversation that the term, the Mahdi Army, which we hear today in the news, these are the insurgents who are fighting for this cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in Najaf. The Mahdi Army, that's actually an old term. That's a historical term.
Well, it actually goes back to the beginning of Islam. It's a concept in Islam of a kind of messiah. But in the 1880s, when the British seized Egypt, there was a local leader, a local Islamic leader in Khartoum who called himself the Mahdi, who called himself the messiah. And he raised an army to challenge the British. And in more than 6 months of a siege, he destroyed the British army and the general who commanded it, Charles Gordon. It became a famous story in British imperial lore, and it is an earlier manifestation of Islamic resistance to Western encroachment that then finds its parallel, interestingly enough, in present-day Iraq.
You've spent months working on this series, Mike. I know because you work here at NPR West, and I've seen you working on it. You've covered 900 years of history. Are there a couple of lessons that you come out with at the end of all this?
No, I don't think that I've come away with this thinking that there are clear policies that the United States ought to pursue or that the American public ought to advocate in the Middle East, but simply the lesson that this history is very important for the American public to be aware of and for American leaders to be aware of so that they can understand better when things happened in Iraq or in the wider Middle East and maybe by that form more wise policies, because it certainly looks like over the last 50 or 60 years when the United States has been the major power in the Middle East, wise policies have not always been pursued.
Mike Schuster from NPR's Foreign Desk with History Lessons this week and next on All Things Considered. Mike, thanks for joining us here on Day to Day.
You're welcome, Alex.
Mike's six-part series, The Middle East and the West, A Historical View, continues this week on All Things Considered. Mike is too modest to mention this, but I'll note that his Morning Edition series on the roots of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict won major journalism awards. And at our website, npr.org, you can find an animated timeline and maps and biographies of important figures in Middle East history from the time of the Crusades to the present day. The link is right up at the top of the page at npr.org.